It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news. We're doing that 7 days a week and right across this weekend throughout Australia. And you'll hear us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Yes, a Saturday morning. It is the sixth day for April today. And if you've got a weekend full of real estate, good luck with that. Now, got a Forbes article. You might have heard about this a few weeks ago. An interesting piece on the Australian real estate market. Now, they were saying in essence that the local property market has been on a wild journey in recent years, and we certainly know that, experiencing dramatic fluctuations in prices and market sentiment. They say that despite these positive signs, there remains uncertainty about the future trajectory of the property market. Some analysts warn of the possibility of a market crash, citing concerns such as Australia's high level of housing debt relative to income and the impact of rising interest rates. However, others are more optimistic, pointing to strong economic fundamentals and the potential for interest rates to stabilize or even decline. Now, overall, while the property market's future remains uncertain, they say, the recent uptick in prices suggest that the worst of the downturn may be behind us. As the market continues to evolve, stakeholders will closely monitor indicators such as interest rates, migration patterns, and housing inventory levels to read the market's direction in the coming months. And that is what you call having a dollar bet on both sides of the market, which is interesting for this reason. Some economists since COVID, which proved most of them wrong with what was predicted and what eventually happened. And as a result, there seems to be more of this looking both ways now at the pedestrian stop. So if you've got an opinion about how you see the Australian market, let us know. The email address is myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. Now, this morning, we are headed to the Gold Coast and catching up with Alex and Victoria Fleury. And good morning to you guys on the Sunshine City, where the property, the ocean views, the lifestyle seems to continue unabated.
Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. Yes, welcome to the Gold Coast.
So what did you make of that Forbes report? Because it seems like these economists, they're having a buck each way, aren't they?
I love these economists. They always forget to put a date on their predictions and they forget to set a timeline for their predictions. It reminds me of that TV series, Yes, Minister. All in the fullness of time, Minister. You know, they never really want to lock down the detail of what they're saying. It gives us something to talk about and complain about, which of course is our favorite thing to do. But the reality is they haven't taken into account the construction issues going on in the market and how that's affecting the market and global economics, which are also factoring into the Australian market very heavily. Australia is today, without a doubt, at the forefront of people's minds when they're thinking of emigration from a country. It is no longer a secondary thought. It is, where shall I move to? And Australia is top of the list. Now, you couple that with the fact that we have the lowest building approvals for houses since 2012, and you couple that with the fact that the next lower approval was, I think, the GFC, and then you look at the ratio of the per capita building approvals, and you start to see that the Australian housing market will be underpinned by immigration, and it will be underpinned by a reaction on interest rates to the global economy.
Well, since you're talking about migration, Victoria, what is happening with those interstaters? Because we know that it is a hotspot. The Gold Coast, people like to move in, pretty good bang for their dollar, although, of course, that has not been the case as much as what it was at the start of the pandemic, but that is the case pretty much in all the major cities. So what's been going on?
That's quite right. We still find that the Gold Coast is such a big draw card for the lifestyle. So people still want to move up here with their families, either relocate their business or be able to still work up here and do their business interstate. Even if that means traveling back and forth, it's worth it because they get to do their work here, enjoy times with their families, walk down to the beach, enjoy the local cafes and restaurants, and not just interstate buyers. We're still finding a lot of inquiries coming in right now from international buyers looking to relocate because they really think they've been traveling around the world and they still say Gold Coast is the best place to live for the lifestyle.
Yeah, and just before I let you go on that interstate question, where is maybe a couple of unusual inquiries from around the world? Not necessarily, they might not have bought, but you got an inquiry and you thought, gee, that's interesting coming from that corner of the world.
I think we've had inquiries from Switzerland. We've had inquiries from Hong Kong and Singapore, which is not unusual. Also Madrid, people coming over from Spain. So I would say that is a little bit more extensive rather than just the international buyer who may be not too far away. So a little bit further afield. So people are traveling more. Of course, some expats coming back from the UK or people wanting to move here from England. But I would say some parts in Europe that we wouldn't usually necessarily have inquiries from are coming through as well. And we deal with that a lot through obviously communicating through WhatsApp, video calls, showing them the properties. And sometimes they're buying things sight unseen because they know what they're looking at after traveling around and know what they want to do and what the lifestyle they're after.
Yeah, you can't beat the technology since COVID. Just so much easier now for people offshore to have a look at a property. Now, talking of properties, listings, Alex, they are a little bit more at a normal level, are they?
Yes, it looks like the stats, the most recent stats, without getting into the exact numbers, that the recent stats seem to indicate that the pre-COVID levels are returning in terms of stock levels. That's not necessarily true of every single suburb, but we've still got like the isolated suburb that's still 30% down. For one suburb that springs to mind is Eleonora. That's a pretty rare one. Most suburbs are now back to pre-COVID levels. And we're starting to see the activity of those listings come on a little bit quicker as well. So there's stock coming on and being sold at the same time. So we're starting to see the turnover of stock as well.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about the sales and the transactions where you are. What's been happening of late?
We are still very focused on auction campaigns. We're starting to see an increase in those transactions at auction in excess of 60% in terms of a clearance rate when we do our main events, but also over a weekend, we're starting to see the auction rates clear under the hammer. We're not particularly focused on under the hammer clearance rate. We're not fixated with those because usually we'll close the deal within, say, a 1 or 2 week period following the auction campaign. And that obviously comes down to where sellers and buyers both have a transactable value. But generally, the auction is still the mechanism of choice because it brings the market in. It helps those interstate and international buyers focus on a property and make a decision that if they want that property and they're not focused on that property, they're going to miss it. So we're putting a timeline capsule on the buyer, and that auction rate is clearing because then the buyer has that feeling of loss if they're not transacting on the day. So that's why that clearance rate is going up a little bit.
Now, we were talking at the start about the economists and another interesting piece, and that is the price of a typical Gold Coast house could hit this staggering $2.7 million mark, which is outstripping every capital city in the nation by the end of the decade. Our friend Ashti from PRD found that local house prices would more than double by 2030, surpassing Australia's current most expensive city of Sydney by more than $200,000 and Melbourne by $622,000. I mean, these are unbelievable numbers, but Ashti said that the numbers were based on market growth from 2012 to 2022, during which time house prices on the Gold Coast held average annual returns of just under 10%. So she's following the trajectory. And I wonder what you think about that, Victoria. These potential houses costing $2.7 million by the end of 2030.
Yeah, well, I think that just comes down to, again, the draw card for the Gold Coast. I think, why not? You know, obviously, if people want to be here, there's a demand to live on the Gold Coast. And we're getting a lot of stock on the market now. And if that's selling, then it just comes back to the fact that people want to be here. So, of course, with that will come the demand, will come a price increase, because if that's a product they want, a home they want, they're going to need to pay a little bit more for that. And that's what we're finding, particularly with competition from interstate and international buyers. That will drive the prices up a little bit, and that's what's happening.
Alex, this would give you bragging rights, wouldn't it? Saying to your Sydney friends, look at us, you know, we're outselling you by $200,000 on an average home. And incidentally, if you look at the units, the predicted price is to hit $978,000 by that year of 2030.
To me, the Gold Coast has always been undervalued. Coming out of London, I stepped off the plane here when Victoria brought me for my first holiday here in 2000, and I bought my first property within 3 months or 6 months of coming to Australia on holiday. We then proceeded to buy eight properties here. We had one in England. And to me, this was the place to be. I couldn't see a reason to be anywhere else. Having traveled the world through my clothing business back in the UK, I really couldn't see why anyone would want to be anywhere else. If you had the ability to earn an income, have a lifestyle on the Gold Coast, I couldn't see why you'd be in London or Sydney or Melbourne, having been to those places. Yes, okay, there was a lot of employment there, but take that out and find your employment in Gold Coast or Brisbane even, and live the coast and work the city. You still had the best lifestyle here. So what I would say is that I feel very confident in the Gold Coast economy. I feel very confident in the property market here. And I just think that we've got the best place in the world. I've said it many times. If Australia is the envy of the world and the Gold Coast is the envy of Australia, that makes us number one.
Well, we'll leave it there on a high, talking all things positive about the Gold Coast on our Saturday morning. Victoria and Alex, enjoy the sunshine and the Golden Beach, and enjoy your weekend. Thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Thank you, Craig. All the very best.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a first-time buyer, know your property with us on The Real Estate Podcast.
So tell us a little bit about what makes Jacksonville stand out, because I know that the low property tax is going to be one of those things.
Yeah, so affordability. So in general, you know, everybody wants to move to Florida because the weather is beautiful, but they all stop here or in Jacksonville, in the northeast part of Florida, because it's affordable. And then as you go down the coast, you'll see it just gets more expensive and more expensive. And what's great here is we still have a lot of land to develop.
So let's have a look at the Jacksonville, Florida median sales price, which I think is hovering around that 384K mark, is it?
Yes, correct. Yeah, and you're looking at an average about a $210 per square foot. And I don't see that going down at all. The construction costs to build a new home went up, skyrocketed in COVID, and they leveled out some, but they're not going down.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.